Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Yisrael Passaic Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua, Daf Insights to the Daf series. Today's shir is on Maseches Sukkah, Daf Lamed Aleph. And the topic is, don't dry this at home. So, the Gemara brings down a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, which extends pretty much from the bottom of Lamed Aleph, from the Aleph, till most of the way down through Lamed Aleph, Mud Beis, as to whether there's a requirement of Hadar for an Esrog. Does an Esrog have to have intrinsic beauty? In the context of the give and take, the Gemara brings down the following brisa. The brisa reads as follows: Uve esrog mi boy Rabbi Yehuda hadar. Does Rabbi Yehuda really require beauty as an attribute for an esrog? Is it a requirement? That Tanya was said in a brisa. Arbas milin minin shebelulav. The four types of species of the lulav. Kishem she'ain pochsin mehen, kachin mosifin lehen. Just like you can't have the mitzvah without one of them, meaning if you don't have hadasim, the mitzvah is not going to work. It's an all or nothing mitzvah. So too, you can't add a fifth man. You can't say, you know, you take hadasim, aravos, a lulav, an esrog, and a rose. But what happens if lo matza esrog? But see, you can't procure an esrog. There's nowhere to get one. So the brisa says lo yovi, lo parish, for lo rimon, below dover acher. You can't bring a quince. You can't bring a pomegranate. You can't take something else, a lemon or something like that. Kemushin, if they're dried up, so they're withered, they're kosher. Yevation, if they're completely dried out, they're pasul. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af yevation. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if it's completely dried up, and we learned last week what we mean by dried up, the machlokas as to whether the lulav is completely white, or whether the lulav is to the point where, if you touch it, it's going to crumble. To prove this case, Rabbi Yehuda continues, the Omer Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Masa bivnei krochim. There was a story with the people of the large cities, that they used to bequeath their lulavim to their families, and they would use them year after year. So amru lahem, so they said to them, misham raya, what you're going to bring, or bring it right to Rabbi Yehuda. They said to Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to bring up this proof from these bnei krochim, ein shas et chak raya, you can't bring a raya from an extenuating circumstance. What exactly was this extenuating circumstance? So, let's see what this Gemara wanted to do. The Gemara brings down that the Bnei Korachim would use the lulav yavashim. Rabbi Yehuda wanted to prove from this that you can use the lulav yavashim, which is definitely not mehudar. The Chachamim countered and said you can't bring a raya from a shas et chak in an emergency or an unusual situation. The situation, explains Rashi, was she'ein darim al makom pardesim. They didn't live in a place where lulavim grew. There were no palm fronds anywhere there. So what do you do when a shas et chak is not indicative of normative halachic practice? And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah even writes, what exactly we mean by a shas et chak? So the Mishnah Berurah halach lamaisa says, below mikri shas et chak, it's only considered to be a shas et chak, Elim Kane ain't bechol ear dalam minim kasherim. You don't have a single kosher lulav. Avalim yesh de chavero. But if your friend has, your neighbor has, af shehulo yachol limso, lo mikri shas et chak. That's not considered to be a shas et chak. So we see what a shas et chak is where there's nothing else available. The question is, what exactly did the Bnei Krochim do? So clearly they took a lulav that wasn't kosher. But to what extent did they perform the mitzvah? So the Rosh in Simon Yudalid writes that the Bnei Korachim actually took the lulavim, that lulav that was yavesh, and made a bracha on it, and were yotzei them at the mitzvah. The issue that the Gemara had with this practice is explained as such. Because we're dealing with the Shas et Chak, and in the Shas et Chak, we sometimes relax certain mitzvah requirements, you can't use the Shas et Chak as a baseline to learn out other cases. So what the Rosh says is that in this case, with the Shas et Chak, they actually made a bracha on a lulav that was clearly pasul because they had nothing else. And what the Gemara wants to tell us is that, you know, you can't bring a raya here that you can use a dry lulav. The fact that they went ahead and used a dry lulav is not because there's no requirement of hadar, but because there was no other lulav around, so that's what you had to do. The Raifat, however, disagrees and has a long, long piece at the end of his Hilko Sukkah that is brought down in the Rosh, in that same Simon Yadalad, and he's going to quote the Raivit. I'm going to go ahead and read the Raivit and Taichin a little bit, and then we'll continue on to explain this machlokas between the Raivit and the Rosh. It says, V'chein kosef ha-Raivit. v'shuv chazer bo, the omer, the bein b'shaset chak or bein jalo b'shaset chak, whether it's what we'll call the emergency situation or whether it's not an emergency situation, ein yotz in b'yavish klal. You cannot be yotz in the mitzvah with a dry lulav at all. The chol hecha the ketani puzzle, that whenever the Mishnah says something is puzzle, the mashna afilu b'yavid, it means even b'di'evit is puzzle, afilu b'mkom et chak lo yotzeh, you're not going to be yotzeh. So really, the people were not yotzeh the mitzvah of lulav at all, because the lulav is yavish. And once the psul is there, the psul is there. So why do they use the lulav at all if they're not yotzeh with it? So the Ravik goes on to say, shelo asu kein ela, they only did this kedei shelo tishtakach mehem toras lulav. That people wouldn't forget about the mitzvah of lulav at all. So people didn't want to go ahead, or they were worried, they were concerned, that people would forget that there's a concept of the mitzvah of lulav. And before you think about this, give me a break, how are you going to forget there's a concept of lulav? You don't have to go further than Sefer Ezra. Well, for some people, going further than Sefer Ezra is pretty far into that, but that's being set aside. During the times of Ezra, there was such assimilation that on the first Yom Tov back, the first Yom Tov that they were back in Eretz Yisrael, Ezra literally went through for them what you're supposed to do Rosh Hashanah, what you're supposed to do Sukkot, and he showed them the lulav and Ezra, because they had no idea what it is. So this is a concern. So the Ravid says, if you don't have one, at least take one that's puzzle, and just to be Yotzei, just that for Yotzei the mitzvah, because you're not going to be Yotzei the mitzvah, but just so people remember that there is a mitzvah. So while you might not be able to do it this year, you can do it a different year. So what's this machlokas between the Ravid and the Rosh as to whether you can make a bracha, whether you can make a bracha on a puzzle lulav, let's say, b'shas et chak or not? So I think we can go ahead and suggest the following idea that's actually mentioned out by both the Ravid and the Rosh, meaning they, yeah. So what happens is, so what's this machlokas based on? So one could suggest the following idea mentioned in the words of the Ravid himself. The Ravid writes, "De'echi talking zeliyos. How is it possible to surmise shebemakom has tchak yotzin bo mevarachan alav lechatchila, that in an emergency situation you can make a bracha on it and you're yotzei v'shalobemakom adchak afilu b'di'evid lo yotza." And at a time when it's not Shaset Chak, you can't be Yotzei at all. In other words, how is it possible that the same lulav, let's say in Passaic, New Jersey, is going to be puzzle because it's Yavish? And as the Ravid writes, which again, we're not going to get into the exact specifics of his Lashon, but he writes, Ki Yavish Kemesu Uchamasha Nichtas Shiuro Ve'inenu. That's something which we didn't discuss last week, and we're not going to get into right now, as to why a Yavish is puzzle. But the Ravid basically says that a Yavish Lulav is puzzle because it's like, has no shear. Totally there, it's totally gone. But putting that aside, as to why the Ravid goes ahead and says his shot as to why a Yavish is puzzle, think about it for a second. In Passaic, New Jersey, where you can procure a Lulav, it's going to be puzzle. But if you go to Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, why did I think of that? Because I read an article about that in Mishpacha magazine. But if you go to Mount Kilimanjaro, right before there, before Sukkot, and there's no Aaron lulav in sight, and you happen to have an old lulav that you had from last year, that very cheftza is going to be yotzei. It's impossible. If the idea is, if this cheftza is puzzle in one spot, it's going to be puzzle in the other spot. And therefore, you can't go ahead and make the bracha. The Rosh, though, himself says, Ela d'cholhani psulin masron hakasim l'chachamim. No, the Rosh says that no, the idea of Yavish is not a thing intrinsically in the lulav itself, but rather it's something that was given out to the Chachamim, given to the Chachamim to debate and to decide. V'heim amru shelo b'shaset chak, afilu b'di'evid lo yotza. And they said, yeah, when it's not shaset chak, you're not going to be yosi b'di'evid, kedei sheyizaru yisrael b'mitzvah, so that people will take the mitzvah seriously. Aval b'mkom adchak, kichshirum. But in an emergency, when you have no other lulav around, like Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, hichshirum, they made a kosher. Why should yefshar binyan acher, when there's nothing else possible, mevarachan aleihem? The Rosh Hashanah adds that this reason is true because the whole nature of hadar is subjective. As in some places, such as one where many beautiful lulavim, a lulav yavish is not hadar, while in other places where there's no lulavim, the yavish is the most hadar you get. What comes out from this machlokas, at the expense of sounding a little brisk, is that the idea seems to say is to what's really the nature of yavish. And that is yavish a din in the chevtza, as a psul in the chevtza of the lulav? Or is yavish really up to the chachamim to decide what it is? I guess more in the gavra, in terms of determining what it is. And with that in mind, you see a very, very big difference between the Rush and the Ravid. The Ravid is going to be saying that this lulav is automatically pasul, because the chetz of a lulav is no longer a lulav if it's yavish, whether it's chasid chak or not chasid chak. And the Rush is going to say no. It's more, I guess, in the gavra, in terms of just determining. It's up to the chacham to determine as to what's a yavish or not. It's a subjective thing. And if they determine that, they can determine that in some locales, this particular lulav is going to be pasul, but b'shas al-chak, they're going to say that this particular lulav is going to be kosher. Regarding the halacha, we have the following machlokas in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tafresh Mem Tes. The Mechaber writes, b'shas al-chak, she'ein insa kosher kol apsulim notlin ve'im evarachim. The Mechaber paskins like the Ravid. And the Rama writes, v'yish makshir in lulav yavish, agav yish makshir in lulav yavish, afil levarich alav. And this is what the Rama writes, v'cheinog in levarich, actually, al lulavim yavishim, afil levarich acherim lachim. So, the Rama is mekel, the Mechaber is machbir. Following question, though, comes up on the Ravid. And that's the following. Actually, that's a double phrase. But here's the question that comes up on the Ravid. The Gemara further on asks, on this braisa, it says, Amar Mar, lo matza esrog, if you don't have an esrog, lo yavi lo rimon v'lo parish v'lo davar acher, you can't bring, replace it with a pomegranate or a quince or any other fruit. So the Gemara says, well, of course, pshita, obviously. Meaning, we were debating before about a lulav yavesh, but a lulav yavesh is still a lulav itself. I know you're going to be granted, the Ravid's going to hold that it doesn't have the chevtz shal mitzvah of a lulav, but it's still the same species. But to think that you can go ahead and use a quince or use an apple or any other fruit just to take it, mehecha tasty that it should be good, that the Brisa has to go ahead and say it's not good. So the Gemara says, Mo to say, but what would I think? Lysi, no, bring it. What's the problem? It's not really, how is that going to help? So we're going to say, kihecha ol tishtaka korach toras esrog, so that people will never forget what an esrog is. At least, again, you have an esrog. So kamash malan, Zinin the nafik korva minei da asilin misrach. No, disaster can come up, but what's a disaster? Somebody might go ahead, and again, let's not count on the fact that we are educated in Torah in the sense that, you know, we're learning Masech HaSukkah. We're learning Masech HaSukkah over here, so we have a basic education as to what a lulav and esrog is there. And we know that you're not going to take an apple or a quince, and that's not going to replace your esrog if there's a year there is no esrog.
They're not
going to
forget it in the Torah.
Ah, so we're going to get to that very, very soon. My son asked a question. He's been listening in. He goes, is it esrog in the Torah? We're going to get to this right now. Excellent question. Give me a second for that. So what you have over here is, what kind of, you know, the thing about though, if somebody who's mamish, completely unversed, they might think you can go ahead and take this type of a fruit. So the Gemara says, therefore, we don't allow it. So wait a second. Till now, we've been talking about what? Taking a little less dry. So even the Ravid who said you can't go ahead and make a brach on a lulav yavesh, nonetheless, he says you should take the lulav yavesh. Why? Shaloti shakach, Torah's lulav. So wait a second. Why isn't the Ravid worried about asi the misrach by a lulav? So this is the question the Ravid asks, and then we'll answer also my son Yehuda's question. It says, Vim tomar, but lulav nami nafik chur mine. Dizimin Havile Tarvayu boy the mafik bulov the chude. The lohida for the so what's the problem with the lulov? So here's the answer. The arba minim shebalulov mefarshi be oraisa. The lo osilamiti. Aval esro lois parish behedya. What's the difference? The Torah calls a lulov kapos tamarim. Kapos tamarim is the branch of a palm. There's no questions, yes or no, what exactly it is. When it comes to an esrog, though, the esrog is just called pre-eitz hadar. We have no idea exactly what that means. It just means either it could be a pre where the fruits are beautiful. Or it could be a pre, where the tree, where the fruit keeps returning year after year. Those are two pshatim in the Gemara. It's up to the Torah Shebaal Peh is what teaches us what an esrog is. So this is exactly what the Gemara is worried about, said the Ravid. The Ravid says that when you have something that's explicitly mentioned in the Torah, so then we're not worried about asya l'misrach. Since the Torah declares exactly what a lulav is, we're not worried about making a mistake. But since an esrog is not mentioned in Torah Shebaal Peh, what exactly the fruit is, the citron that we use, but rather it's learned out from Torah Shebaal Peh, in that case, taking something that's not really usable, that would be a problem. So again, for things that are mentioned in the Torah specifically and we know exactly what it is, we don't see Asi the Misrach. For things that are not mentioned in the Torah, then we will. Good question. I don't know if the Sadukim would actually use a lulav and esrog or something like this. You're right. Sadukim would have a problem with it. Definitely. Because they would not know how to do all these things over here. That's actually correct. Now, this idea is further brought down by Rav Zilberstein, who asked the following question. There was a shaila. Kishay sakana livno sukkah. It was dangerous to build a sukkah. For lachain, yef shalasosa bachutz kedin. You couldn't make one outside. Elo tachas ha'ilon. Ha'im yasena tachas ha'itz kedin shloshi takach shalo tishtakach sukkah. Kimo shenem rabbi shokhan arak b'shas et chach she'in linim salul of kasher. She'notim kol apslum be'mevarchim shlo tishtakach lul toras lul mi'yisrael. Olo yase. Same situation, but this time with sukkah. Could you go ahead and build a sukkah under a tree? It's the only way you can go ahead and do it. I guess they make a decision, chas v'shalom, a terrible situation, but where they say you can't have a sukkah at all, so you're somehow able to go ahead and hide your sukkah, but it's albeit under a tree, and it's going to be completely possible. But could you at least do it so that at least for this year, okay, you might not be yotzei in the midst of sukkah because of the circumstances, but at least people won't forget about there's a concept of sukkah at all. But you're not going to be yotzei. Or are we worried about Dilma Asu L'Misra? And in fact, Rav Zilberstein quotes this Ravid, and he brings down the chiluk about whether something is mentioned explicitly in the Torah or whether something is not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. And Rav Zilberstein wants to say that there's possibly a reason why you can't do it in this case for the following thing. While the Torah does mention a concept of sukkah, the idea of not sitting under a tree is learned out from a drasha, in the first parak, where it says, Basukos teshvu, dilo besukkah shetachas ha'ilon. So since you have something which is learned out from a drasha, so again, there really legitimately is a good chance that there's a possibility of, I said a lot of words over there, let me rephrase that a little bit, there is a good chance that it's asur l'misrach. And therefore, if Zilberstein wants to say that it's, even though at least the Tzarech Iyun, he definitely gives the argument that this case would not be good. Because again, we are taking this chiluk of the Ravid. And the chiluk of the Ravid is, Asya l'Misrach applies in something learned out from Torah Shebaal Peh. Things that are clear in the Torah Shebaal itself, we're not worried so much about Asya l'Misrach. So there you have it, about trying to use a dry lulav when you have nothing else. The machlokas we showed him, and later on the machlokas poskim, if you can in fact use it and take a bracha, we say that of course you can use a lulav, so machlokas if you can make the bracha, but in the chiluk between lulav and esrog, because lulav is mefarish in the Torah what it is, while esrog isn't. Kol tov, have a good week.